Well, welcome this morning to Fellowship in Christ Christian Church. A lot of things are going on here. Liberty Sign Company is in the middle right now of making us a magnificent, beautiful sign that will be out on the bulletin, out on the boulevard. As most of you know, we are also working to build Lyndon Forby's saying 100 feet. And I think he's got the right number, to be honest with you. There will be a 100-foot-tall cross out here. To put that in perspective, Bald Knob is 110. So that might give you some perspective of what this will be. It will literally, a cross will literally become the landmark for Carterville, Illinois. Now you just think about that. What that's going to do with 25,000 cars a day passing that cross. Not a time in history where we need that worse than we need it right now. Yeah. Second thing I'd like to say is I'm so glad that Tim remembers everything I've taught him to do on the piano. That's beautiful solo you did there in that last song, Tim. We also thank Cecil. Cecil came as really a picker. If you've ever heard him just sit and pick some songs, especially if he's got the music in front of him, or what's that other thing you use called? It's not really notes, it's the other. Tab, yes. Awesome picker, but he'd never played rhythm guitar before. And so through the years, he is becoming a good rhythm guitar player. And we appreciate him. We appreciate everything Jim does. Mike, as you know, is on the mission trip in Mexico with the other people. I wanted to speak this morning about Psalm 23. I would guarantee you a huge part of this crowd this morning could say this 23rd Psalm. It's 6 verses by heart, or at least part of it. Some of you, most of it, and many, all of it. But yet, as you look at this 23rd Psalm and you start to study it a little deeper, it has some richness in it that I believe many times we overlook. It's like many of us can quote John 3:16. But do you realize John 3, 15, 16, 17, and 18 all say the exact same thing? Different words, but says the exact same thing. So we can quote a verse, but what's before it and after it? My dad, you've seen this picture out as one of the founding elders of the church here. My dad was an amazing man. Harold Chasteen, Harold Oliver Chasteen, to be honest with you. And he, when he was in his probably 40s or maybe 50s, you could literally, and I do not mean this figuratively, I mean literally, just open your Bible and read a verse. And he could tell you what book you were in, what chapter you were in, and a lot of times the verse preceding and the verse after. Now that's someone that took Bible study for serious. And I'm so proud that Zach does the same thing here. And I've got to brag on my daughter, Brittany. Brittany, as you know, has helped us start a startup church in Marion, Illinois. They're meeting in the shopping center where Rural King is. But she is the same way. That gal is a studier. And looks like she wants to get her degree in Hebrew and Greek from Loyola University, and that will even help her more with understanding Scripture. There are some real insightful and encouraging thoughts in the Psalm that I know are overlooked. Many of us, as I said, can quote the 23rd Psalm, but does it sink into our souls? Does it sink inside our souls? We're not here to spend an hour or 45 minutes and walk out those doors the same way we walked in. We're here to least grow in some area, to understand more than we understood before. That's why preachers that get up and share ignorance, I don't have a lot of respect for. And I want to tell you, I don't care if it's me or Jim or Mike or Zach or Bill that's spoken here. I want you to know something. This morning we've got a small crowd. Makes me no difference. I studied just as hard and just as long to do this as if there were 5,000 people here this morning. And every one of us that stand behind this pulpit, we feel the exact same way. We've got a responsibility to do more than share ignorance. Okay? So much more. And the scripture could not be clearer that teachers, by the way, that word is the work of a person, not a person themselves. Okay? We take that very, very seriously. Very, very seriously, because the scripture says we're going to be judged more harshly. More harshly. So let's look. If you've got your Bible or your Bible app, please open it. I hope some of you have written a Bible with you, because there's some words that are really good that you can write in, which I've done. And then I'm going to dig into four of the groups of words. We're going to dig into it. This won't take a long time. Oh, by the way, you're wanting to know about communion. I'm sorry. Communion will be at the end of the service, because this leads us right into communion at the end of Psalm 23. First of all, let's just start. The Lord. Now, people, when you see that, two words, means there's no other. It doesn't say a Lord. Says the Lord. Then if you'll notice, Lord is all caps. You know what that is? That's Yahweh. Do you know Yahweh was so holy to the Hebrew people that they wouldn't speak it? So you know what Yahweh actually is? It's the sound of breath. Yahweh. 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 It was too holy to speak it. Today, that name is used as a curse word. Is my shepherd. We need to tie this into the New Testament. John 10, verse 7. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. The door. I'm not a door. I'm the door. You realize he is the only sacrifice. He's the only redemptor. He's the only one that could take your sins and put them on his body and die and then be resurrected. As absolute proof. I told one of my grandsons a couple weeks ago, I said, do you realize we don't even need to have faith to believe in the resurrection? You don't. The resurrection is probably the most provable fact in all ancient history. Not only by secular writers, or not only by biblical writers, but by secular writers. Why would Pliny the Elder and Pliny the Younger and so many others be trying to stamp out in the first century something that didn't exist? It's provable by the people that have tried to stamp it out. Extra biographical, you would call that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's supply. I shall not want. Dallas Willard, one of my favorite teachers, passed away a few years ago with the same thing that got my dad pancreatic cancer. Dallas Willard, a tremendous teacher. If you ever get a chance to hear him, do get some CDs are, I'm sure you can play them up even on Pandora or some of the stations that you can YouTube. Tremendous teacher, one of the best. He was the head of philosophy at Southern California, University of Southern California. He says, I shall not want. He said that word literally in the Hebrew means I shall have no lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leads me beside the still waters. That's refreshment. He restores my soul. That's healing. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For his name's sake, that's purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing. I will fear no evil. That's protection. For you are with me. That's faithfulness. Even when we're unfaithful, what's the scripture say about him? When we're unfaithful, what's the scripture say? He is still faithful. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, guidance, for his name's sake, purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, testing, I will fear no evil, protection. For you are with me, faithfulness. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There are two there. One is discipline, and one again is protection. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Think about this one. That's hope. How many people this day will die of fentanyl use because they feel like they've got no hope? Jim and I just lost a friend last week to what they think was a fentanyl overdose laced with meth. You anoint my whole head with oil. That's consecration. My cup runs over. That's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessings. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security. Forever. That's eternity. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. See, the difference between Christianity and every other religion on the face of the earth is religion is not a Christian word necessarily. Re means back. Religion, that's a word that means ligament. It's what you're tied to. That's what religion is. Christianity is different. Christianity is a relationship with the Lord that although you may not be able to see him physically, people, you can see him in his power. I cannot see the wind, but I can certainly see the effects of the wind. I cannot see gravity, but I can certainly experience what gravity is. Do you all realize we know how to split an atom and make a bomb? But do you know no human eye has ever seen an atom? We just know they exist. So people will say, well, I can't believe in Jesus because I can't see him. And my immediate question back is, well, do you believe in George Washington? I don't think you saw him either, did you? You know George Washington because of what was written about the guy. And there's nothing more provable in ancient history than about this Jesus guy. Nothing. Not even close. Not even close. Now I want to look at four quick passages here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. If you, King James, like Brother Justin over here, he maketh me. Same Hebrew word. The Hebrew word for maketh is shava. It means to bring forth to a place. where the sheep can rest in a place of safety under the watchful eye of the shepherd. Does that give it a little bit better meaning? He makes me lie down. He makes me lie down where he can watch over me and keep me safe. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The Hebrew word here for leads is nahal, N-A-H-A-L. It means he carries and protects. Now think about this. He leads me beside still waters. He carries and protects me. He leads us to a place not only of safety, but according to Nahal, a place of protection where we can have full trust and full confidence, where you can rely on him without any distractions. You can rely on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Good Shepherd, because he is going to bring you to a place of rest and safety. He's going to lead you to a place of protection, trust, and confidence. Oh, this old world right now, there's very little to trust in. Very little to trust in. Jim kind of gets on me a little bit for this, because he said, you can't stay up on it if you don't watch it. I've almost quit watching TV. I can't stand it. I literally feel, I do, people, I mean this, I feel blood rushing into my face. I just can't watch it. I do, so that you realize I'm not an idiot, I do look it up on apps and I read what's going on. News, yes. I don't watch news anymore. I do read about it, and Jim keeps me informed as well as some of my other friends, but I do read about it, but it bothers me so much. I can't believe that the United States has gone down this far in such a short period of time, when the Bible's so clear on every one of these issues that we're facing today. I'll just give you one. If a man don't work, don't let him eat. Is that my quote? No, it's Paul that wrote half the New Testament. He leads me. He protects. I can have trust and confidence. He restores my soul, or he restoreth my soul. The Hebrew word for restores or restoreth is shub. S-H-U-W-B. It means he refreshes his sheep. And listen to this. He refreshes his sheep not only once, but continually by pulling the sheep back to him repeatedly. That's what restores means. Repeat, time you see RE, it's back to something. Back to himself. Back to himself. So the good shepherd who is restoring our souls binds our wounds just like a shepherd does his sheep. Heals our sicknesses just like a shepherd. Gives us strength in the place of weakness. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, some of you Bible studies, you go, hey, Dan, you said leads twice. Well, that's right. I did. It's he leads me beside still waters and two, and now he leads me in the paths of righteousness. So when you see that, you start thinking, well, maybe this is John 3, 15, 16, 17, 18, maybe just emphasizing. Well, he is, but this word leads is a different Hebrew word. different than the first one. This leads is different than the previous Hebrew word in verse 2. This Hebrew word is nahag, N-A-H-A-G. And listen to this. That word literally means to drive or to drive forth. Like you would drive or lead a person, an animal, or even a chariot. We are the sheep. Where are we the sheep being driven? In the paths of righteousness. The thought is this. The good shepherd guides and leads his sheep the right way on the right path. By his word and through the Holy Spirit's guidance to bring glory and honor to his own name. That's for his name's sake is. I'm going to read that one more time. This word means to drive forth like you would drive or lead a person, an animal, or even a chariot. Where are the sheep being driven? In the paths of righteousness. The thought is this. The good shepherd guides and leads his sheep the right way on the right path. Now, you might ask, well, is there a wrong way to do the right thing? And the answer is yes, there is. There absolutely is. When Jim and I were in CMA, Allison, years and years ago, Halloween was the biggest party, one of them in the United States in Carbondale at SIU. One of the biggest parties in the United States. All 20,000 students pretty much were on the streets. Some of them in costumes that you couldn't even, I couldn't even say it to my wife, much less say it in church, some of the costumes people wore. But we were out there and we were handing out tracts, trying to talk to people about Jesus, and did many times. Well, one guy came up and when he saw what we were doing, he stood there and he was screaming and shouting at the top of his voice that people need to get saved. Well, that's true. He was doing the right thing, but he was doing it the wrong way. The right thing, the wrong way. You know what righteousness is? This is a Dano, translation of that word. It's doing the right thing the right way. It's doing this the right way on the right path. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this morning for communion, I want to focus on that. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To keep this in context with the rest of Psalm 23, this is talking about the shepherd's goodness and the shepherd's mercy. Not my goodness and my mercy, his goodness and his mercy. His goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now think about this. I can't follow myself. He's saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Well, hold on a minute. I can't turn around and see me back there. It's the Lord. It's his goodness and his mercy. Someone else is following me. In a modern vernacular, you've heard this one. Somebody's got my back. Yes, he does. Yes, he does, praise the Lord. Now, who and what is this? What's the good shepherd who is constantly following me, leading me, and in some cases, driving me? with his goodness and his mercy. How long does this last? All the days of my life. Then what? Forever. Forever. He proved his goodness, grace, and mercy from the cross. We are not getting what we deserved. He took what we deserved on himself. And then calls us to be holy. That's 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, if you want to know about holiness. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. That is what communion is all about. Remembering his body and his blood as a sacrifice on the cruel cross at Calvary. What Jim taught about this morning. Bulls and goats don't make it anymore. Matter of fact, Hebrews says that God didn't even like that. Because he prepared the perfect lamb. The sacrifice, think about this before we take communion. The sacrifice of the unblemished holy. The sacrifice of the unblemished holy. Taking the death penalty for a horribly blemished person like me. You get it? Do you get it? The sacrifice of the unblemished holy, taking the death sentence for a horribly blemished sinner like me, and then calls me to be holy.